Hello, and thank you so much for joining us to learn about Bitachon today. It is Lamed Shvat, which is Rosh Chodesh Adar, Tavshin Pei Gimel, 5783, February 21st, 2023. I'd like to dedicate this to my wife of 35 years, just about, Knanahara, and I want to thank you very much, Penina, for being my inspiration and for helping me move always up in Ruchnius and to learning about Bitachon and about Midos, and to always work on ourselves as a couple and as a family. So thank you so much. HaBitachon HaShishi, the Aruch HaTzadikim tells us that the sixth area of trusting in Hashem, Olam HaZeh, it's in this world while we're here, SheYivtach BeElokim, and it concerns matters of this world also, that one should trust in Hashem, SheLo Yachilehu BeOlam HaZeh, that Hashem will not feed him in this world, chelek hara oilo, a portion, the portion that's worthy for him, ba'olam haba, in the world to come. In other words, that a person needs to have bitachon, that Hashem will not give him his reward that he deserves in olam haba while he's still in this world. Now, why would a person be concerned about that? Because there, I have experienced, some people have a worry and anxiety, oh, maybe if I'm enjoying or benefiting from certain things in this world, maybe I'll lose out from Olam Haba. So the Aruch HaTzadikim tells us that one should trust in Hashem, that Hashem will not do that, will not feed him, will not provide for him, will not give him so much pleasure in this world that he's going to lose his Olam Haba. The Yivtach Bo, and then we go to the next trust, in the next phase of this, because in order to be able to have this bitachon, that Hashem takes care of me in this world, but also in Olam Haba, and because I am protected in this world, that doesn't mean I'm going to lose any of my credit where enjoyment is genuine, and that's Olam Haba. The Yivtach Bo, and the person should trust in Hashem, sheyishmereyu, that he'll protect him, mipigei ha'olam, from the evil encounters of the world. This is so fundamental that every single day, the person has to renew and strengthen his bitachon, that Hashem will protect him or her from pigei ha'olam, from the things that come to the world, that are evil encounters, that are difficulties. We're allowed to have this bitachon. We need to have this bitachon. We already learned in the very first session we had that according to the bitachon is the Yeshua, v'mitachaluim, and that Hashem will save the person from illnesses. We are allowed to have preemptive bitachon that Hashem will protect us from illnesses, v'midever, and from pestilence, epidemics, illnesses, v'mecherev, and from sword, from injuries, chas v'shalom, from violence. We are supposed to trust in Hashem that Hashem will protect us from violence and from those types of misfortunes, umeirav, and from hunger, umishar haros hamisrak shoslav olam, and from the rest of the evil encounters and from the challenges and difficulties that come to people in this world. So what is the Aruch HaTzadikim telling us? That we need to have this thought pattern that Hashem is protecting me, and from this whole list of frightening encounters and occurrences and experiences, Hashem is actually taking care of me. It's an insurance policy. It's called safety insurance from the Ribon Shalala. And when a person trusts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo yivtach bishvil ma'asav atovim, he should not trust because of his good deeds. Now, what is the advantage to not making our bitachon dependent on our ma'asim tovim? He's saying, I shouldn't say to myself, oh, because I do this and this for Hashem, so Hashem will therefore protect me. That is not supposed to be the absolute equation. He should not do that, because what happens if a person feels, oh no, my actions fall short of my ability to trust in Hashem. Maybe I don't deserve it. So then maybe I have no right to trust in Hashem. Well, the Aruch HaTzadikim tells us that really bitachon is independent to a degree from our ma'asim tovim. It's lo yiftach bishvil ma'asav atovim. He should not make contingent. He should not connect and link his bitachon and say it's because of his good deeds. Because really, no matter how much I do, I don't even really deserve that Hashem should do anything for me because I have so much that I need to do. I always will fall short of that. So therefore, I shouldn't say to myself, oh, I definitely deserve all this protection and insurance that Hashem's giving me. Well, frankly, I can't say that I deserve it as a human being, but Hashem gives it to me anyway, and He will give it to me. Ach yaseh kol ma'asav, but the person should do all of his deeds, bishvil hakel yisaleh, for the sake of the exalted Hashem, asher gidlo, that Hashem has made the person great, Hashem has raised the person. So I say to myself, who has raised me in this world? Yes, it's my parents. The Gemara says that there are shlosha shutzin ba'adam, three partners. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu avi ve'imo. Certainly they're the human parents. But it says gidlo. There's something called gidlobanim. There's child rearing. There's raising children. Who has really raised me? It's the Ribbono Shel Olam. Gidlo, He's in charge. Beniso, Hashem has lifted the person up. Hashem has promoted me. The person should think, I've been promoted. I've been elevated. I've been pushed from one level to the next. I've achieved wherever I'm up to in life. Even if I think, oh, I'm not really achieving. I'm stuck. I'm frustrated. No, but stop for a second and see. We have achieved something until now. It's inevitable that we have. But olam hazeh, in this world, v'heitivlo, Hashem has been benevolent to the person. He's done good to the person. Every single person is the recipient of innumerable, indescribable favors from Hashem. Ein rega b'chol yimei chayav. There's not one moment, not one split second in all the days of one's life that the favors of the Creator are not upon him. Meaning every single second, there are huge, innumerable, indescribable, eternal favors that Hashem is doing to this person. Just think about how our body is working, all the different systems. The Yachshov, then the person should think, that even if his actions were doubled and doubled again, Lo hoya echad me ribo. It wouldn't be even one out of 10,000 mimashayesh olav lasos from what the person really is obligated to do. Mechmas tovos hokel yisparach, because of the favors of blessed Hashem shein olav b'chorega that are upon him in every single moment. So let's just go ahead and summarize a little bit of this. If I do everything I can, it's still just a minor, tiny fraction of what I really should do if I were able to. With that in mind, I can trust in Hashem independently of my good deeds and think, Hashem, you're going to take care of me no matter what, because you always have, you're still with me. And after the person will think all this, Yiftach al chaste Hashem Baruch Hu. He should trust on the kindnesses, the loving kindness, the benevolence, the generosity of Hashem. Blessed be He. Shehu HaGomel Chesed, that Hashem is the ultimate bestower of loving kindness. Hu HaMerachem, Hashem is the one who's compassionate. He has compassion. Yoser Mimasov Shalada, more than the person's action. That will be, we just said that before. If I say to myself, commensurate with or proportionate with my actions, that's how much compassion, how much mercy, how much pity Hashem will have on me, I might be in a bit of trouble. Because what I need is, I need Yoser Mimashav Shal Adam. More than what I do, more than what I deserve, Hashem is going to be compassionate and benevolent toward me and kind and merciful, because that's the way that it works compared human beings to what they should do with what they are able to do. When I say should do, meaning we can't go past a certain level, a certain limitation. We are human beings, but Hashem still has that love and compassion and affection toward us. And as every moment of our lives, we have it. No matter how difficult things are, we have to realize, look, there's something that Hashem is doing for me. There is somebody who's being nice to me. There's something that's working for me. There are tons of things that are working for me. I'm still here. I'm able to think. I'm able to talk. There's so much I could do. I could daven and I could make things get better. Because in Hashem's kindnesses and Hashem's mercies and Hashem's sensitivity toward His creation, no sein lechem, Hashem gives food, the shratzim, to the creeping things. What are shratzim? We know, for example, Parsha Shmini, it says there are shmona shratzim, there's a mouse, there's a gecko, there's a snail, there's a chameleon, there's all types of animals like that. Then there are ones that are not in Parsha Shmini. There are turtles, there are all types of animals, there are frogs. Hashem gives food to them. They're out there. Look at that. They're supplied with food. Libehemos. What about domesticated animals? Farm animals. We see goats. We see cows. They're grazing. Ah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them food. Matzmiach Chotzir Labehema. Says in Tehillim, Hashem causes grass to grow for animals. That's not an accident. It's Hashem's world. Well, Lachayos, what about the wild animals? Yeah, there's a food chain. There are wild animals. They have what to eat. Well, the Ophos, the birds have food also. It's really Kedai. Rabbeinu Tam wrote a sefer called Sefer HaYashar. There's more than one Rabbeinu Tam. There's more than one Sefer HaYashar, I believe. But in one of those Sfarim written by Yerishon, he mentions we should really look at nature. Once in a while, take a look outside and watch some robins or sparrows. I'm not sure which one. And they're kind of like hopping across the grass. And once in a while, they thrust their beak into the ground. I'm sure you've seen it. And out comes a worm. And then they're eating. Ah, delicious. Good suda. Who gave it to them? It's the Ribbono Shel Olam gave it to them. Who's on? And Hashem sustains and he nourishes. And Hashem provides food. Mikar ne ra'emim vad beite kinim. Gemara Shabbos Kuf Zayin. Let's translate it. Hashem gives food from the biggest animal to the smallest. What are karnei ra'emim? The horns of the ra'em. Well, the ra'em is mentioned several times. And one of the places is in Parshas Balak. It's in other places too. And in there, I just want to quote some of the opinions of what a ra'em is. Now, I'd like to thank Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan Zatzal in the Living Torah. I had the zechus to meet him. And he gathered like about every opinion probably what a ra'em is. But let's just get a little bit of an understanding and a perspective on it. A ra'em is translated as a unicorn. Okay, fine. We won't get into unicorns too much right now. It could be a rhinoceros, according to some opinions. These are the opinions. It could be a white antelope, a wild ox, an aurochs, or a bison. Whatever it is, the Gemara says, Hashem feeds those animals. He feeds the antelopes. Hashem feeds the oxen. He feeds the bison. He feeds the rhinoceros. They all have food to eat. Karne Re'emim, from the beautiful horns of the Re'em, Yad Beit Sekinim, all the way down to the eggs of the lice, larva, whatever stage of development you want to think about, they're all eating. They have sustenance. They have nourishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nourishing all of them. The biggest animals and the tiniest animals. So then what am I? I'm going to get left out? Of course I'm not going to be left out of that. Hashem has also food for me, but he also has all types of sustenance for me, has enough supplies for me. He can supply my emotional well-being also. He can give me a refuah shleima also. And I have a right and a need to ask for this and trust in Hashem that he'll give it to me. The chasher merachim al elu. And just like Hashem has mercy and compassion on all of these creations, Lo bishvil maaseihem hatovim. It's not because of their good deeds. We can't say, oh, what mitzvos did that buffalo do today so that he gets a delicious chunk of grassland? He didn't do any mitzvos. Oh, what about that ant? What did the ant do today? Oh, yeah, he inspires some people, like Chazal say. He inspires us to not be lazy. Yeah, but really, come on. Did he put on tefillin? Come on. Did he say a bracha? He's still getting sustained. So if Hashem does that for all those animals, kach yirachem olav, so Hashem will have mercy on the person also. So I have to process this and say to myself, if Hashem is taking care of all those creations, all the creatures, of course Hashem is going to have rachmanis on me and give me what I need. So therefore, I have a right and also a need to trust in Hashem, that Hashem will take care of, it's a package deal, everything that I need. Protecting me from evil encounters, from weather, from illness, from people who are dangerous, chas v'shalom. And also he's going to provide enough food for all of us. And everything, and lodging, and all the necessities, everything we need. And before we go to the next paragraph, I just want to mention, it's a beautiful pshat in Tehillim. Hanosein shele katsamer. It says, what does Hashem do? It seems to be saying in the Hallelujah that Hashem gives wool, sheleg katsamer, snow like wool. It says sheleg katsamer, snow like wool. The snow is beautiful and white. It looks like wool. And perhaps we'll elaborate on this another time. It goes on with another couple of phrases. But there's a beautiful pshat, and you might know it already. Sheleg katzomer. He only gives the amount of snow and cold, katzomer, proportionate to how much wool there already was provided ahead of time for warm coats to protect the people from the snow and the cold. Sheleg, how much snow? Katzomer. He only gives snow according to how much wool he already provided. So people are going to have warm coats to protect them from that snow and that cold. And the psukim go on to explain another couple phrases that way. And Mr. Shem will elaborate, Billy Netter, some other time. That means a person is allowed to say, oh no, it's going to get cold outside. What am I going to do? Yeah, but Hashem already provided. He already provided and he caused a supply to be available for us so that we're able to live in this world. And that was the paragraph of what the Aruch HaTzaddikim called in Olam Hazeh. And now we're going to talk about another dimension of time. The question is, in the Bitachon HaShvi, in the seventh trust, do we need to trust in Hashem that he's going to bring Mashiach in our lives? That's the question. HaBitachon HaShvi, the seventh trust, sheyistach al hamelech malchei hamlochim hamoshel al kol baruch hu, that a person should trust on the King of Kings, the one who rules over everything, blessed be he, sheyavi beyamav teshuva liYisrael, that in this person's lifetime, in your lifetime, in my lifetime, he will bring salvation to the Bnei Yisrael. That's correct. It's a very clear cut. The Aruch HaTzaddikim holds and proves from Chazal that we're supposed to trust in Hashem that he'll bring Mashiach in our lifetime. Not only is that important to trust in Hashem because of Emunah and Bitachon, but that will help bring it faster. We already know that in the Zechus of Bitachon, Kol Midot of Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mida Keneged Mida, everything is measure for measure. If we have a collective upgraded Bitachon, so then that can actually hasten the coming of Mashiach. We're supposed to trust in Hashem. It's part of Bitachon that Hashem is going to establish Yerushalayim for Bnei Yisrael to have autonomy, to have a Beis HaMikdash, the Yivneh Beis HaMikdash B'yamav. And a person should trust in Hashem that Hashem will build the Beis HaMikdash, but not just that he'll build the Beis HaMikdash. He'll build it in his days. We know the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara Sukkah, Rashi and Tosfos both agree that the Bayis Shlishi is being built in Shemayim. How is it being built? With our Ma'asim Tovim. And there are bricks of fire being built. You look in the Seder Otzrat Tfilos, Tisha B'Av afternoon. That Beis HaMikdash is being built in Shemayim. Mikdash Hashem Konenu Yodecha. You might have said it in Oz Yoshir today. The Bnei Yisrael perceived it at the Yam Suf already, that your hands have prepared it in Shemayim, and it's going to come down. It says, Bonoi U'meshuchlo, Rashi and Tosfos say. It's built, completed, and decorated, ready to come down. Even I know the Rambam says that the Mashiach is going to build the Beis HaMikdash. And there are those who, for, they reconcile and they say it's not really a machlokas, whether it's going to come down from Shemayim built already, or is a human being, which is the Melech HaMashiach, the great Melech HaMashiach, is he going to actually build it or be in charge of a building project? There are those who say, I saw a sefer that reconciles and says it's not a machlokas really. It's that the Rambam, when he says that he'll build it, doesn't mean he'll build it physically, is that he will bring about, he'll effect the descent of that Beis HaMikdash, which will solidify as it comes to earth after having been built from bricks of fire comprised of our Torah and Ma'asim Tovim. Just like there are other things that also solidified. The Mun, remember there's Machlokas Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. The Mun, according to one opinion, as it says, Lechem Avirim Ochal Ish, it says in Tehillim, that it was the Ziv Hashchina, solidified Ziv Hashchina, the radiance of Hashem's presence. I'm giving you examples of things that were spiritual, but came down to earth and solidified. It could be that the Mun was that way, and we know that the Luchos were made from the Kisei HaKavod sapphire, and they were the first Luchos, and they solidified when they came to earth. They were breakable, obviously. Well, the Beis HaMikdash also, the Tashtus, according to Rashi and Tosfos, and according to the Pshat I told you that the Rambam could agree with Rashi and Tosfos, is being built with bricks of fire from our Torah and Ma'asim Tovim. And it will come down to earth, and that comes down to earth, says the Aruch HaTzaddikim, the Yivneh Beis HaMikdash B'Yamav. It's part of Bitachon, that a person should trust in Hashem, that it will be built in the person's lifetime. That's real, that's genuine, that's authentic, that's tangible, that's visible. But it should not be the intention or the motive of the person's trust that Moshiach will come and the Beit HaMikdash will be built, kidei lichyos b'shalva gedola, in order to live with great tranquility, relaxation, relief, kasher tia b'yam mahem, like it'll be in those days, v'lechol ha'peros ha'tovos, and to eat the delicious good fruits, v'lishtos yayin osis, to drink juicy, fresh, and powerful, delicious wine. Interesting point, the Aruch HaSadikim is saying now. This is the Havamina. A person might think, I can't wait for Mashiach to come, because once Mashiach comes, I'm going to live it up. Interesting, because I don't know that I ever really thought that, but he does mention this, that some people might be motivated to trust in the salvation occurring in their lifetime because of a life of luxury, a euphoric type of existence, where the serenity and the relaxation will be such that the person will drink and eat all types of delicious foods and drinks, wherever the concept comes from, but that should not be the person's real motive. Ah, but rather, tihyeh kavanas bitchono. It should be the intent of the person's trust. Why am I trusting that Hashem is going to bring Mashiach? Why am I hoping? Why am I craving that Mashiach is going to come? Not because of a physical type of paradise that we just described. It should be sheyichye b'yomim mahem, that the person will live in those days kedei lavod habora yisparach, in order to serve Hashem, the Blessed Be He. Serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The emphasis is supposed to be on the ruchnius, the spiritual part of it. Oh, perhaps we'll have relief from the physical travails and challenges and pains that we have. Now, that's just mentioned, of course. We know that it says in the Gemara, Shmuel, in the Gemara, says, Ein olam hazeh limos ha-mashiach el shibud malchios bilvat. That the main difference between the world as it is now and after Mashiach comes is the bondage of kingdoms. Okay, without getting into a full-blown discussion of Yemos HaMashiach, it's a machlokus in the Gemara, there's so much to it. The Rambam paskins this way, as we know in Hilchos Malachim, that the main difference, the marked difference, will be we'll have an autonomous society, we'll have a Melech HaMashiach, we'll have a Beis HaMikdash, and the anti-Semitism is going to be on the decline and it'll be eliminated. People will realize that we need to serve Hashem. That's really the marked difference initially after Mashiach comes. How long the initial stages is a big machlokus also. 40 years, 200 years, whatever the different opinions are. So the Aruch HaSadikim says one thing is definite though. It's kedei lavod habori yisparach. We certainly can expect and look forward to serving Hashem with fewer distractions, with a more lucid perspective on what's proper. Because in those days when Mashiach comes, Yosir Hashem, Yetzer Hara Milev Amo, Hashem will remove the Yetzer Hara from the heart of his nation. We know there are so many Gemaras, the Gemara Makos, Mizeba Me Edom Chamutz Begadim, Hashem is going to come, and Kaviyocha, bloodstained clothes. What do you mean? Hashem doesn't wear clothes? There's no blood up there in Shemaim. We know that it's going to be that Hashem is going to, quote unquote, slaughter the Yetzahara, the Sar Shal Esav, the Sar Shal Romi. What does that mean? What does that actually mean? We know that it means, one pshat is that everything will be so clear. It's like turning the lens and everything comes into focus. Oh, now I can clearly, conspicuously understand that the only purpose in life is to serve Hashem. That's what it means to slaughter the Yetzahara. The Gemara Sukkah, we know this. Sukkah Daf Nun Beis, where it says that Hashem in the future, there's a hesped, there's a crying going on because the Yetzirah again will be killed. Without getting into that full Gemara, it'll look like a mountain that the tzaddikim climbed, and they look in retrospect. Oh my goodness, how was I able to climb that mountain? They'll look at the Yetzirah that way. Although one of the Mefarshim says they'll actually be sad because they won't have a mountain to climb anymore. And therefore, they won't be able to show their allegiance to Hashem. Oh, so many aspects to this concept that the Yetzahara is going to be slaughtered or eliminated, whatever that means. But as the Aruch HaSadikim says, the effect, the sum total of whatever that means is very clear. However it's going to come about, Yostir Hashem Yeter Hara Melev Amo. Hashem will remove the evil inclination, the evil impulse from the heart of his nation. Now please, we have to remember the Yetzer Hara is a Malach. The Gemara Bava Basra says it's the Malach HaMoves. It's the Yetzer Hara, it's the Satan, it's good, it's the best thing for us. Hashem only creates good. We know that the Yetzer Hara is created for our good. It's to make us grow. If Hashem created it, it's only benevolent and good. Why is it called Yetzer Hara? Because it makes us do things we shouldn't do. It's there for us to be tempted by and then to overcome and to resist and to not listen to. Oh, that's the biggest means for growth. That's the rungs on our spiritual ladder. So when it says Hashem's going to remove it because there will not be a need for it anymore, his time, his career will be over at that time. The chulam and all people. So we have to make sure we have that straight. If Hashem created the Yetzer Hara, which is a malach, the Gemara Bava Basra says it's the malach hamavis, it is in essence good because Hashem created it. It makes us grow. Its job is to not be listened to. So yes, people do things they shouldn't do because of it. So it's called the Yetzer Hara. But Hashem will remove that in the future, that temptation. The chulam and all people, ketanim ugedolim, whether small or large, young and old, Yedu es Hashem, the Aruch HaSiddiqim says. Everyone will know of Hashem at that point. There will not be any hindrance, obstruction. There will not be any distractions anymore. No more impediments. No more obstacles. Lo dever, not epidemics. No COVID. No pandemics. Below Rav, no starvation, no hunger, no distractions. Below Milchama, there won't be war anymore. Below Tirda, there won't be any distraction. There won't be any laborious tasks that take us away from Hashem. Ach kulam yiyu fenuyim. Everybody's going to be free in their minds, not distracted anymore, focused. The focus will persevere, will be the overwhelming theme that we can all focus on Hashem. Penuyim. Free minds. No more distractions. No more attention deficit. V'chulam yasigu hasaga gadola. And all people will attain, will grasp a very high level of comprehension. B'idiyas habori yisbarach. In the knowledge of Hashem, blessed be He. What's the Aruch HaSadikim talking about? He's telling us that we need to trust in Hashem that this state of spiritual paradise and euphoria will actually occur in our lifetime. He says it's part of the tenets of Bitachon. We're actually supposed to. Some people think, do I have a right to do that? Not only do I have a right to trust in Hashem that He'll do this in my lifetime, I need to trust in Hashem that He'll do this in my lifetime. This is something really to look forward to. V'yomi mahem tir b'hadas. And in those days, knowledge, wisdom will increase. Kidachsiv, as it's written, Yeshaya Yiral Tes, Kimala Haaretz, because the land has become full at that time, will have become full. Deyat Hashem, knowledge of Hashem, Kamayim Ayom Mechasim, the way that water covers the sea. So let's talk about what we learned today. Today we saw in the sixth Bitachon, has to do with Olam Hazet, the Aruch HaSadikim said. Every day there are things that can give a person anxiety and worry and apprehension. We should go ahead and blow it away with bitachon and say, no, I trust in Hashem that is going to protect me from these things. And when we have that bitachon, that actually does help protect us. We already learned that in the beginning, many, many weeks ago. Many months ago, we learned it last May, that the soldier on the battlefield, the Chafetz Chaim told him, you want to get home in one piece, you trust in Hashem that you will be okay. And then, if your bitachon is 100%, you will be saved. We can trust in Hashem that He'll protect us, and He'll give us all types of guarding forces that will stop us from encountering all these evil things that he mentioned. And then the seventh bitachon, was that we should trust in Hashem that He'll change the way things are by bringing Mashiach in our day. And amidst Hashem, as we get into this beautiful month of Purim, when we were marbe b'simcha, we should do everything we can to go ahead and focus on thoughts that bring us to the proper appreciation of what Emunah and Bitachon and Simcha are. Because as we said in the very beginning, last May, that Emunah leads to Bitachon, and when we master as much as we can the Mira of Bitachon, we're zoche to serve Hashem b'Simcha. So Hashem should help us really experience Simcha of Adar, and we should see the Nisim the way that the Bnei Israel did at the time of Mordechai and Esther. Have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for joining us.